lechol miyad. When somebody, when you come home from shul, you should eat right away. Right? We shouldn't be nice to sit and schmooze. It's wonderful. But if you're waiting for somebody, for sure, that's shalom bayis is doche, any type of mitzvah. It's a mitzvah daraisa for us to fulfill. It's all right. Even when you say you'll be yotzi somewhat in shul, but at least for the women, well, it's a mitzvah daraisa that we want to fulfill, one of the mitzvahs chavivos that we get to do every week. And once you do the mitzvah, as soon as one gets home, as soon as possible, after Shalom Aleichem, after Eishes Chayil, one should make Kiddush. There is one, maybe one mitzvah that one could do beforehand. If in shul one said Kriya Shema before Tzeis HaKochavim, so the Mishnah Berurah quotes that, you know, maybe say Kriya Shema right when you get home, one doesn't forget. That's a mitzvah daraisa for sure at that point, so one could do that. But generally, you know, right when you get home, make Kiddush. Yeah. What about Svira? So it depends. It depends if it's late enough. If it's late enough, you can say Svira then too. Most Rishonim hold that Svira so Omer today is Durabanan. Kiddush maybe is Daraisa, at least for some people there, the women who didn't daven Ma'ariv. So, but again, if you think that you're going to forget, you can count Svira then too. Generally, if you made early Shabbos, for example, it's not late enough, so you have to do it later. But generally, you should try to make Kiddush as soon as you get home. Siv Beis. Nashim Chayavos B'Kiddush. Afa Pishu Mrs. Aseches Van Grama. Men and women have the exact same obligation in Kiddush. Right, some feel that some have the misconception of Kiddush is for men and Avokas Neiros is for women. Men and women have the same exact obligation in all the mitzvahs of Shabbos. Gemara says in Brachas Daf Chaf, based on Zachar v'Shamar, the Hekish, called Sheyeshnu b'Zachar, Yeshnu b'Shamar. So there's a connection between the mitzvahs Aseh of Shabbos and the mitzvahs Los Aseh of Shabbos. We're used to the concept of Hekish, of two words next to each other in the Torah, two parshios next to each other. So you're makish them, you connect the two. Once in a while, we have an unusual type of hekish. Like here, Zachar v'Shamar. Zachar is in Yisro. Shamar is in Voeschanan. But that's called a hekish. Why is it called a hekish? Because Hashem said it at the same exact time. We can't do that, Chazal say. We can't say two words at the exact same time. Hashem can. So because Hashem, Kaviyachos, said Zachar and Shamar at the exact same time, that's called a hekish. And we compare Zachar, which is the symbol of the Mitzvah Aseh of Shabbos, and Shamar, the Mitzvah Lo Saseh of Shabbos. And therefore, just like women are included in all the Mitzvahs Lo Saseh, because even if there's Zman Gromas, the Mishnah says in Kiddushin, there's only two Lo Saseh that women are not obligated in. All other Lo Saseh, even if they're time-bound, women have to do. And all Mitzvahs Lo Saseh. So Shabbos has many Lo Saseh, so too they're included in all the Mitzvahs Aseh of Shabbos. So everything related to Shabbos, Kiddush, Lechem Mishnah, Shal Shudis, all the mitzvahs of Shabbos, mem and nun are equal. Sometimes some women are in the kitchen fixing up the soup. No, you go. No, they have to be in the dining room, right? Focus, kavana, right? It's the same mitzvah, men and women. Havdalah is the only machlokas. Why is Havdalah machlokas? Because it's about Shabbos, but it's not on Shabbos. So are women obligated in Havdalah? That is a major machlokas we've shown him. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't help. Quotes two days. So there are two opinions. L'chad chila, we try for a man to be motzi a woman because of this machlokas. If the woman is alone, she's the only one home, she makes Havdalah. And you know what? She even drinks the wine. There are certain non-halachic sources that say women shouldn't drink the wine. All these stories, what's going to happen to a woman if she drinks the wine of Havdalah? But that's not halacha. That's minhag. The minhag is for women not to drink the wine of Havdalah. But halachically, if a woman is making Havdalah, she's the only one around, she has to make Havdalah herself, she drinks the wine, because that is halacha. Halacha overrides any type of minhag. But either way, the Shulchan Aruch says here, men and women have the same exact obligation in Havdalah. I'll take the question in a second. Mishum de'iskish zachar v'shamar, v'hani nashi, ho v'isnu b'shmira, isnu b'zachira, because they're obligated in the los ases, they're obligated in the ases, and the added on psak, u'motzios es ha'anashim, and they can be motzi a man. It's not traditional. The Mishnah Berurah says, Zila Milsa. It's what we would call pasnished. For a woman to be motzi a man in Kiddush, it's not traditional. Halachically, does it work? Yes, it does work. A woman can be motzi a man in Kiddush, but again, it's not. It shouldn't be done, and it's not done. But again, in terms of level of obligation, this is the halacha. The Bach, on the Simen, ponders about the Shulchan Aruch, wondering why this should be different than Kriyas HaMegillah. By Kriyas HaMegillah, the Shulchan Aruch quotes that a woman cannot be motzi a man. So the Bach says, what's the difference between Megillah and Kiddush? And therefore the Bach says, I think a woman can never be motzi a man. That's the Bach's maskana. But all the Achronim say, what's the problem? There's a big difference between Kiddush and Megillah. Kiddush, everybody's equal. Everybody's equal by Kiddush. A woman can be motzi a man. Megillah, the Rishonim discuss in Megillah Daf Dalet that could be that even though women are obligated in Megillah, could be a different type of obligation than men have. Right, what is that difference? It could be women are only obligated to hear the Megillah, not read the Megillah. Shmias the Megillah. That's why there might be a difference between the two. But by Kiddush, they're all equal. So that's the halacha. Men and women have the same exact obligation. Women have a chiv and Kiddush. This is all, by the way, talking about Kiddush Daraisa, Kiddush on Friday night, which is the mitzvah Daraisa. Yeah.
So does that mean that women say Kiddush for a man?
Well, a woman can say Kiddush for a man. Me'ikir hadin. A woman can say Kiddush for a man. Yes. Again, the Mishnah Berurah says it's not a traditional zilo milsa, but that is the halacha. Okay? Men and women. When it comes to Kiddush, also an important ha'ara, we have to make sure, we have to realize, it's not that my father is saying Kiddush. The Baal Bais is saying Kiddush, and I'm just kind of like listening. It's as if I'm saying Kiddush. It's my obligation. He's my mouthpiece. And I have to make sure to hear every single word. If I miss one word of Kiddush, I'm not Yotze. I have to say it myself. If I space out, and I'm like not listening. But the abbot, if you spaced out and you heard every word, probably you don't have to make Kiddush yourself. If you were there and you were quiet. But if somebody's talking, if somebody is not focused and they miss some words, then it's a serious issue. One should have kavana, meaning, my eyes shouldn't be wandering. Either our eyes should be closed, or we should be looking down, or we should be focused on something. Be focused on something in order to make sure to be yotze. Yeah. No, there's not different than any other case of Shomei Ka'ona. But by other cases, sometimes we realize that it's us. It's as if we need to say it. But Kiddush is a chiyuv gavra on every man and woman, and therefore we have to hear every single word, just like Kriyas HaMegillah for a man, right? Not like Kriyas HaTorah, which is not a chovas hayachid. It's a chov of the tzibur, but this is a chiyuv that each of us have to fulfill and say. Yeah.
Yeah, so, like usually when you say by every book or Yom HaShishi, some people say that quietly.
Oh, so we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Why people say that quietly. Okay, continuing the Shulchan Aruch. Before we get to the Shulchan Aruch, background to the next halacha in Shulchan Aruch. The Iker of Kiddush, as we just mentioned, is nighttime. There's a concept of making Kiddush Shabbos morning. That's a mitzvah d'rabbanan. That is not d'araisa. It's only d'araisa if you miss Kiddush on Friday night. I once had a friend when I was in yeshiva years ago. It was a friend of ours who, instead of shana bed, he was in the army, so he came back for Shabbos, and he was zonked. I remember he like fell asleep at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, on Friday afternoon, and nobody woke him. He wasn't supposed to be there, whatever. He woke up at 8 o'clock, Shabbos morning. It was not. So what happens? You miss Friday night. So there's a mitzvah of Kiddush d'araisa, Shabbos morning. You don't say Yom HaShishi by every vokin. That's Eidus. That's only Friday night. You have to say the Kiddush. I can show them the Mitzvot of Ratzavon of Shabbos Kashi. Say the Bracha Shabbos morning. So, but Be'ikaron, Friday night Kiddush is Daraisa, and the Shabbos morning Kiddush is Derabbanan. That's in terms of the Kiddush. What about in terms of the meal? We know the Gemara tells us, based on a pasuk in Parshas Beshalach, that we have a chiyuv to have three meals on Shabbos. It says the word Hayom three times in the pasuk in Beshalach, and therefore we have to have three meals. There is a daya in the Amoraim, Rabbi Chidka, who says you have to have three meals during the day, another meal at night. Right? That's Rabbi Chidka. We don't pass on like Rabbi Chidka. If you want to have my father, I remember growing up, whenever he had a snack after his nap on Shabbos afternoon, he said, as soon as Rabbi Chidka. Never knew what he was talking about. Right? But you get older, you read the Gemara, it's Rabbi Chidka. Rabbi Chidka has to have four meals. Okay, we pass in three meals. Is there any meal that's more important than any other? Let's say you only have enough money for one meal and not two meals. Shalosh Shudas is for sure a notch lower. I'm not going to get into that now. Maybe we'll talk about Shalosh Shudas later in the summer. Is there, between the first two meals, the Gemara is clear. The more important Suda is the daytime Suda. The nighttime Kiddush, the daytime Suda. That's the halacha. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says in the next Sibin. If you only have enough money for one Kiddush, it's the Friday night Kiddush. And if you have enough money for a meal, it's the daytime meal. That is what the Shulchan Aruch says. Based on this, the Marshal, Shlomo Luria, early Achron, he writes in the Yamshel Shlomo and Meseches Gittin, that once he realized this halacha, he stopped eating fish Friday night. He wanted to keep something special for Shabbos day. He wanted to have a hecker. So we generally have cholent. Most of us don't, maybe at the tish, at the wake. But at the meal, we don't have cholent. Why? So it could be because it tastes better if it stays overnight. But also, Minhag Yisrael Torah, because this daytime meal is the Iker meal. The Aruch HaShulchan defends the fact that sometimes we have special delicacies Friday night. He says, look, if things taste better straight out of the oven, so you can't fault Klal Yisrael. And therefore, even if, you know, you have something Friday night, they're not Shabbos day. This is Friday night. Oh, just parenthetically, I think it's a Marshal Lishitasa. I didn't say anybody connected. The Marshal in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah writes, because Rosh Hashanah is not a regular holiday, we've got a topic of a separate shiur. It's a Yantif, but it's Yom HaDin. We have a Chiyav Suda, but there was some Gaonim that used to fast. We don't pass in that way. But it's not a regular holiday. The Marshal says, I stopped eating fish on Rosh Hashanah. Because I want that as a hecker, that it's not a regular Yantif. So I think it's Lushitasso, where the Marshal loved fish, it seems. So he only ate it Shabbos day, and he didn't eat it on Rosh Hashanah. To have some type of hecker. It's the same application of the halacha. But why is this important for us? There is a minhag that some have, more in Eretz Yisrael, that the Piskei Tshuvos discusses that he's not a fan of. And that is sometimes, Kitavet Shachris, you get to it when you go to Eretz Yisrael, and sometimes Shachris is like 7 or 7.30 on Shabbos morning. So 9.30, you're eating challah. So if you're in yeshiva, you're eating challah at 9.30 in the morning. So not so bad for the regular teenage guy. But many families out there, they don't eat challah at 9.30 in the morning. So if you daven early, you have what's called like the chumus meal. A little meal. You make kiddush, you have a motzi, and you have some chumus and whatever, a little bit, a piece of fish. Then you bench, then you go out for a walk, and then you learn, or whatever. And then you daven chagadola, especially in the winter. And then your challah shudis is your big fleishik meal. So the Piskei Tshuvos is not such a fan of this. He quotes some achronim because the second meal is the ikar meal of Shabbos. One has to make sure to have something significant. Something significant. Okay, you don't want to eat 9:30 in the morning, but have something. Have a piece of chicken. Have a piece of fish. Just something to make it significant, but keep it in mind. That idea, that kavod yom is Yosef and kavod Laila. Yeah. The main kiddush of the night, that's the Daraisa kiddush.
Yeah, so,
So early Shabbos is okay. Again, that's a... I'm saying, but it halachically is at night. Rabbi Yehuda says in Maseches Brachos that nighttime has two definitions. Right? The Chacham say one of either says the other. One of the only times in Shas where the Gemara says, do whatever you want. What do you pass like? Whatever you want. So you can pick and choose. Rabbi Yehuda says, Plaga Mincha, it's daytime outside. Right? It's daytime. It's an hour and a half before Shkia. No, not exactly. But it's an hour. It's light time. But you can, it's night time. You can have a Ma'ariv. That's Shabbos. That's called Tosef Shabbos. You cannot do Tosef Shabbos before Plaga Mincha. That's the earliest time. If you light candles before Plaga Mincha, it's Bracha Levatala. Put out the candles and light again. So it can't be. Let's say I'm very frum. I love Shabbos. I want to make Shabbos on Thursday. I want to have a two-day Shabbos. Friday morning, I'm going to start Shabbos. You can't. It's impossible. You can extend Shabbos. You can't start Shabbos early. Okay. Moving right along. Shulchan Aruch Siv Dalet. Aser Litom Klum Kodem Shiyakadish. There's an Isser. Yeah. Is there a limit to how long Shabbos could be? Meaning Sunday afternoon, you still have an Isser Malacha? I think like by Sunday morning, I don't think you could. You have a Chiyuv of Havdalah until late Tuesday. Chiyuv of Havdalah, but I don't think there's still an Isser Malacha in that sense of no. Of, what? I don't know. I don't think the Gemara says Mefurish. Like if you wake up Shabbos morning, I remember the. My parents once told me they went to like Scotland or Finland, one of these places. The Shabbos was over at midnight. So nobody stayed up. Right? You went to sleep, you made Havdalah, Shabbos for Sunday morning. Gets to midnight. But was it when they woke up, was it really Isser Malacha, like with Muksa and all the halachas? I don't know. I don't know what I don't know if there's a deadline. The Chiyuv Havdalah is clear, it goes till Tuesday night. But let's say you daven Shachris. You're going to daven Shabbos for. Not going to daven Shabbos, one has, right? So I don't know if it's before. It must be before somewhere. What? For Ma'ariv, you could daven Ma'ariv when it's still Shabbos. That's not a problem. You can say I'm talking to the Gemara says Beferish. You could daven Ma'ariv when it's still Shabbos. It's got to just be after Plaga Mincha. So they probably set an alarm to say Kriya Shema. And you guys can't say Kriya Shema until it's a big issue. Yeah.
You mentioned some fish that they probably eat Shabbos. Why did you explain that?
Friday night? What do you mean? If you like fish, you eat it. You done Shabbos? He wouldn't eat it because he wanted to have a hecker that Shabbos morning.
Did it come from something? Or was it just
no, that's what he said. That's what he said because he liked it. Okay. Siv Dalet says an Isser of Te'ima before Kiddush. One is not allowed to eat before Kiddush. When does the Chiyuv of Kiddush kick in? I'm not going to get to this, so I'm going to mention it now. Friday night and Shabbos day. The Isser of eating on Friday night starts right when Shabbos starts. Right when I'm a Kabbal Shabbos, there's an Isser of Te'ima. That means not even water. I can't drink water before Kiddush. One Shabbos starts. Can't even drink water. That's Friday night. What about Shabbos morning? Can I drink water Shabbos morning when I wake up in the morning? Want to have coffee? Yes. Want to have a cookie before I go to shul? The answer is it's mutter. Whatever you're allowed to eat before davening during the week, you can eat before davening Shabbos morning. The chiyuv of Kiddush is not when one wakes up in the morning. The chiyuv of Kiddush kicks in after Shachris. After Shachris. That's when the chiyuv of Kiddush kicks in. After Shachris, somebody like here, right after Shachris, that's when the younger kids go have breakfast. The chiyuv of Kiddush is right then. If they would eat it beforehand, they would have a snack beforehand. There's no chiyuv of Kiddush yet. But afterwards, the chiyuv of Kiddush. Yeah, Shaila, what if somebody has a chola, the Bir Halacha discusses, and he has to eat before davening, something more serious? Does the chiyuv of Kiddush change that? But generally, we assume it happens right afterwards. A few weeks ago, there was a bar mitzvah in my shul, and the father, a couple days before the bar mitzvah, said, my son really gets dry, and the voice gets can he drink between the aliyahs? As you see, this bar mitzvah boy, with a water bottle. I said it's mutter with two conditions. Number one, after Shachris, he has to go make Kiddush. He has to go make Kiddush privately, because you're not allowed to drink before Kiddush. Go make Kiddush, and you have to have a mezonos. Kiddush Makam Suda. Not getting into that topic right now, number one. Number two, I'm going to announce that he made Kiddush in shul, because I don't want people to think that he's drinking without. On his bar mitzvah day, he's going to drink without making Kiddush. Be like, no, the halacha, it's not a sign. So if he really needs it, so I've said this four or five times. I've never been. Once they hear this, they're like, "Oh, forget it." And then the boy does it without the water. But I've never had a case where they follow it through. Okay, well, he'll do it without the water. They don't want the announcement. But it's mamish. Sometimes you see bar mitzvah boys drinking. It's the day of their bar mitzvah, and they're not following the halacha. You know, what is the halacha? Unless they make kiddush privately, with mizonos, not just wine. But again, that is something that one has to be know about. I'm saying, but it's usually they're nervous and they're right. If it's just to clear their throat a little bit, whatever doesn't need a bracha, you know, wouldn't require kiddush. For medication, if you're using enough water for medication, it doesn't need a bracha, and then you'd be able to do it without kiddush. To clear up, but most of the time when the kids are doing it, they're nervous. They keep drinking. It's not just to clear their throat. They don't have something in their throat. It's more the anxiety. Yeah.
What about a Baal Tokeya on Rosh Hashanah?
A Baal Tokeya. So there is a big discussion about making kiddush before shofar in the Achronim. But again, he's during the tkiyas. That's not people don't drink during the tkiyas. It's not what's done. Okay, so the issur of teima before kiddush. Okay, moving right along, we get to a major sif. One sif in the Shulchan Aruch, one line, but we can spend many hours on it. A few minutes, we'll do. Tzarech shetiyah mapa al shulchan tachas apas u'mapa acheres prusa al gabav. The challah has to be covered underneath and covered above. That's the Shulchan Aruch. The reason there is a challah board is not only so you have something hard to cut on. There's a halacha that there should be something under the challah. Right? Siftes. Shrein Hashayin Aleph Siftes. Under and over. Of course, the famous halacha of covering the challahs. Why do we cover the challahs? One very famous reason, one pretty famous reason, and one very not famous reason. The Torah quotes, exactly, the three reasons. The most famous reason is not to embarrass the challahs. Not to embarrass, the Yerushalmi says, not to embarrass the challahs. Famous story of the Chafetz Chaim. He was once eating at somebody's house, and the guy was very excited. It's been months. The Chafetz Chaim is eating at my house. The Gadol Hador, unbelievable. His wife was working all week. He finally comes home. He brings the Gadol Hador inside his house. The table is set. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. The candles are lit. It's unbelievable. He's so excited. He walks in, and the challahs are not covered. He sees his wife was exhausted, fell asleep on the couch, but she was like, Mama's setting up for the Chafetz Chaim, and the challahs weren't covered. And he starts screaming at his wife, how could you embarrass me in front of the Gadol Hador? You know the halacha. Cover the challahs. Everybody knows that. First grade. His wife jumps up, and he jumps. Chafetz Chaim turns to the guy and says, Mister, why do we cover the challahs? What do you mean? The challahs not embarrassed. What do you mean challahs not embarrassed? Because really, the first word in the pasuk eretz, chita usa'ora v'gefen, chita should go first. Hamotzi should go first. But there's a mitzvah of kiddush. So that's what we have to do for a goffin first, so we don't embarrass the challahs. Says the Chafetz Chaim, you ever see a challah turn red? What do you think the message of the halach is? You obviously missed it. You care more about your challahs than about your wife. So there's a message of that. The baris chals are embarrassed. Many of these halachas, right? So the why are there no steps going up the ramp of the mizbeach? So the floor is not embarrassed seeing the erva of the kohen. But the floor is going to be a little, oh my God, embarrassment to the kohen. Obviously, it's a message for us. All of these halachas are a message for us. But number one, so the chal is not embarrassed. Number two, one word, the man. The man, the first ever Ziploc bag in history. Kadosh Baruch Hu, when the man fell with a package, nice neat package, above and below. You ever drop anything in sand and then try to eat it? It's impossible. Imagine for 40 years, the man fell in the desert on the sand, and there was no sand. You didn't get any crunchy when you ate the man. It's unbelievable. First Ziploc bag in history. So that for that halacha, the man was covered below, covered above, so we have to cover the challah also. Number two, zecher to the man. What's the third reason? Oh, who said it? L'kavod Shabbos. What does that mean? So that it's as if the challah is not on the table until after I make Kiddush. Until I declare this meal as a Shabbos meal. Mekadish HaShabbos! Now everything here is l'kavod Shabbos. Once I make Kiddush. I have to have the challahs on the table because Kiddush B'makom Suda. But I cover them, it's as if they're not there, it's as if they only come after I already declare this meal as a Shabbos meal, and then I can uncover them. These are the three reasons why we cover the challahs, and there are at least seven or eight nafkamina, la halacha, that we try to cover all of these reasons that we do. Just to mention a few of them, and I'll take the questions. Number one, when could you uncover the challahs? When do we uncover the challahs? And all of these nafkaminas that I'm telling you are right here in the Taz, the Magen Avraham, and the Aruch HaShulchan. Right here on the Sif. When can you uncover the challahs? So let's think. If the reason is embarrassment, then when can you uncover the challahs? Right after Kiddush. If the reason is reason number three, you declare it as a Shabbos day, right after Kiddush. But if the reason is the mun, then the poskim say, even as you say the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, the chachilah should be covered. That's why you might have seen some people who do the mark, which we're not going to get into now, put the knife down, hold the chalas, amosi lechem in haaretz, and then take the cover off, because of this reason of the man. Number one. Number two, you have to cover the chalas of shal shittis?
No.
Again, there's no kiddush, there's no embarrassment. Right? Then the reason for you not, number three, you're not declaring it, but zecher to the man, you would even have to cover a shal shittis, the chachilah. Even though you're not making Kiddush. Number two. Third reason. What happens if you're making Kiddush on Challah? You don't have any wine. You're making Kiddush on Challah. So the Challah's not going to be embarrassed of itself. You're making Kiddush on it. If you're making Kiddush on Challah, according to that reason, you would not have to cover. But again, we try to use all the reasons in order to cover ourselves. What has to be covered on the table? Just the challah? What if you have coleslaw and pickles and cookies on the table? What has to be covered? So again, if the reason is so the challah is not embarrassed. So just the challah, maybe the mizonos on the table also. If the reason is the man, probably the challah, that's the zecher. What if the reason is reason number three? So everything is there, l'kavod Shabbos, then everything would have to be covered. And that is why there is a minhag. Maybe when you get married, you have your own home, not to bring anything to the table until after Kiddush. The Seer of Salvation was once in a hotel, and it was all in a hotel. It's like impossible. You have to put everything on the table beforehand, the pickles and the coleslaw and everything. See, he asked for an extra tablecloth to put over everything while he made Kiddush. Again, in a public place, you can't. At least you have a Kiddush. When I make Kiddush in shul, usually I just ask for napkins to cover some of the food next to where I'm making Kiddush. I'm not going to cover the shalom. I'm not going to cover it. But l'chadchila, if you could cover at home, you could sure do it. You want to have the melon, the gefilte fish, whatever, set it up inside in the kitchen, and right after Kiddush, you can bring it out. But again, that's for reason number three. Okay, a couple of other issues. What if you have a see-through cover? Does that work? Shlomo Zalman discusses. Okay, let's get to Sifyud. Sifyud is major. Sifyud is major. Every word of Sifyud we can focus on. Every word. First phrase, Mekadesh al kos male yayin. We make Kiddush on a kos male yayin, an entire kos of wine. What's a kos? Kos is a cup. Okay, at least a revius. That's true. how much you have to drink. Hopefully we'll get to that Hashem soon. But a kos, what about a disposable kos? What about a disposable kos? That is Rav Moshe against the world. Right, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a well-known tshuva where he writes, and again, it's important to know that this tshuva was written many years ago, not recently. It was written, I forgot the year, 1950s, I think. He was talking about disposable cups, and he writes, you cannot use a disposable cup for Kiddush. If there's nothing else, okay. But you really, really, really shall not use a disposable cup for Kiddush, because Rav Moshe compares it to a shavur. The Gemara says that to use a coast that's broken, the stem is broken, a piece of it's broken, that's a problem. You can't use that for Kiddush. So a disposable cup inherently is a broken cup. You're going to throw it out in a minute. And therefore, Rav Moshe says you can't use it. And whenever you see anybody trying to be machmir to use a real coast, it's because of this Rav Moshe. A couple of points. Number one, many poskim argue with Rav Moshe. But Tzitzel Yezer of Waldenburg writes Mefurish, one of the great poskim. He was nifter about 7-8 years ago, Yerushalayim. Tzitzel Eliezer Mefurish says, I don't understand. Make sure it's still on. I don't understand. Rav Moshe is a shavur. Why is it shavur? Shavur means you have a cup that breaks, and it's not as it was. But this was made as is. It's perfect. It's fine. So what? You're going to throw it out in a few minutes. But it's fine. So many poskim argue under Moshe. Point number two, a number of Achronim, Rav Asher Weiss mentions this, and others, it could be that Rav Moshe would agree by our cups. You know what Rav Moshe was talking about? The little Dixie cups, the paper cup that when you use it once, it like falls apart in your hands. Like by the dentist, you have those cups? That it falls apart. Those cups, that's a shovel. You use it, it gets ruined as you use it. Our hard plastic cups that we use at the Seder, you know, our fancy disposable cups, that hard, that, you could use this 10 times over. We throw it out because we're affluent and we don't, it's disposable. But maybe even Rav Moshe would not think that our disposable cups are a problem. But again, Talmidim Rav Moshe are always look for a real cup. And again, as whenever I talk about this, I mention, I've seen Rabim Ugdolim, many that use a double cup. You might see people make a double cup, which I never understood, because it's 0 plus 0 according to Rav Moshe equals 0, and according to everybody else, one cup is enough. I don't exactly understand. So somebody once showed me a one-line tshuva of a post-egg, which, but I don't fully understand it. Again, many great people do it. Must be a source out there. But in the sources, Rav Moshe says it's 2 zeros. You're going to throw out both of them. What's the difference? And according to the other postgame, one is enough. It's not a problem. It's not a shavur. Anyway, that's the word kos. So you have to use a kos male. So again, here in camp, you have a plastic cup. It's fine. Mi'ikra din, according to most postgame, it's not called a shavur. It's made to be as it is, and one can use it. Yeah.
I'm just based on a picture of Rav Scheinberg holding up two disposable cups.
I know. Many, many great people do it. I just don't understand it. And I've never seen inside why. Why it would be to give it more chashivas? It's not more chashivas, right? It's two. You're gonna throw out both of them. Again, I'm sorry, I don't understand. Okay, that's Malay. Continuing the Shulchan Aruch, Shelo Yehei Pagum. It cannot be Pagum. What does the Russian Pagum mean? Pagum means. Got something there, right? Pagum means tainted. What is tainted? What does tainted mean? Pagum means wine that somebody drank from. That's the definition of pagum. L'chatchila was supposed to use wine for Kiddush that was not drunk from. If that's the only wine I have, then I can use it. But l'chatchila, non-pagum. What if I have pagum wine, and let's say I make Kiddush, and I have a half a cup left, and then somebody else comes and wants to make Kiddush. Are they allowed to use my wine? It's pagum. So the answer is they could use it. Because there's an easy way to unpugum wine. And that is to pour unpugum wine into the pugum wine. Whatever is poured in, that determines the status of the wine. So if I take wine from the bottle, I pour it into the cup, wonderful, now I have unpugum wine. You can use that for Kiddush. What happens if you had a cup of wine and you only drank half and you want to save the other half? You want to put it back in the bottle. So you might see people doing this way and that way. What's going on there? If I take my cup of wine that I just drank from and I pour it back into the bottle, I have now pugged up my entire bottle of wine. And that is why what you might see people do is that first they take their bottle of wine and pour a little bit into their cup. So now in the cup it's all non-pugum, and then you can pour it back into the bottle. Because it always goes by the item that is poured in. You'd have to pour more wine into the bottle to make it all, you know, unpugum. But lechatchila, we try to use non-pugum wine. It's also a way when you dish out the cups to, like, everybody at your table. If lechatchila, you want to give everybody unpugum wine, you pour it into the little kosos first before you take a drink. That's another, what? It's not, it's part of the tzaracha. You could also pour it into a big cup and then drink and then pour the little cups, you know, different the different minhagim that people have. One second, yeah. What's the svarah? That's a halacha in Hilchis. You look in the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchis Birchas Suda, Dinim Hanogim Basuda. That's not a Hilchis Shabbos issue. That's a Hilchis Shul. You can look there in the Shulchan Aruch why that is. I guess it's the sugya of Tata Agvar and Ilah Agvar. So the sugya in Masachas Pesachim. Yeah. There is a Sephardi minhag to pour a little water into the wine. That's a Sephardic minhag, I think, going back to the days of the Gemara when the wine was very strong and you had to mix it to give it the status of wine. So that goes back to that, the minhag. But again, our wine does not need water and one could one does not need to do it. Yeah. In the wine, in the days of the Gemara, you couldn't drink it. Rabbi Yehuda, the Yerushalmi, says in Adarim, had headaches from the Dalat Kosos from Til Shavuos. That's where Moshe's riot. They can't use grape juice in the Seder. Other poskim say, maybe they didn't have grape juice. But Moshe said he had headaches. It must be that they can't use grape juice. Okay, yeah, quickly, yeah.
What about using
grape juice? Grape juice for Kiddush is fine, 100%. Okay, if we... Why not? It has wine. It's wine. So you cook it right away to take away some of the alcoholic content. Still wine. Still wine according to all poskim. Grape juice is 100% lechatchila fine. Next phrase in the Shulchan Aruch. The Omer, even before I say this, there are three ways of making Kiddush in terms of our position. Sitting, standing, both. Every one of them is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So whatever one's father does, one should follow their father because every minhag is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Let's talk about the svaras first, and then we'll see them inside. One minhag is to stand for the whole Kiddush. Why do you stand for the whole Kiddush? The first half of Kiddush generally is stood for because that's Eidus, testimony that Hashem created the world. Like, Chulu Hashem Eretz Chol Tzva'am. You have to stand when you give testimony. Once you're standing for the first half, you also stand for the second half. That's quoted in the Ramah, that's the minhag of the Arizal. And all Chassidim make Kiddush standing up based on the Arizal and others. So that's one minhag. The other minhag is the other extreme. You should sit for the second half of Kiddush because that creates a kfius with everyone else at the table. It's easier to create a halachic connection with each other when we're sitting around. Right at a smorgasbord, we're like eating standing up. And like, okay, we go from one person to another person. When you're sitting at a table with somebody and eating, then you see, oh, they're eating together. At a smorg, you're just walking around. There's no connection between them. So sitting always creates a kfius. So you sit for the second half. Once you're sitting for the second half, you sit for the first half because it's not real Eidus. You're not in Bez Din. So you sit for the first half as well. This is all talking about Friday night, not Shabbos day. Shabbos day is different halachas. And then you have the other minhag of standing for the first half and sitting for the second half. So all three are quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Let's read it. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Va'omer vayachulu mu'umad." Shulchan Aruch says, "Say vayachulu standing." Obviously, what is mashma from the Shulchan Aruch? The rest of Kiddush, you're saying sitting. Stand by Yechulu standing. The Akach HaMibrei Peragaf and Vakach Kiddush. Says stand for Yechulu. Then the Ramah says, V'yachol la'amod b'shas HaKiddush. You can sit, you can stand for Kiddush. Meaning, sounds like you can stand for everything. But he's arguing on the Shulchan Aruch. V'yoser tov leishev, but it's better to sit. V'noagim leishev af b'shash omer Yechulu. The Ramah quotes. Right, and he quotes the minhag of sitting for all of it. Rock, and this is important for another topic, Shemaschilin, when you start Kiddush, you do the old, get up a little bit. Omdim ksas l'chvod Hashem. Why? Well, I mean l'chvod Hashem. Yom HaShishi v'yichulu HaShemayim spells out Shem Hashem, Yudke Vavke. Yom HaShishi v'yichulu HaShemayim. So just like from this halacha also, that's why the minhag is, when we bench with 10, by Elokeinu. We get up a little bit to give kavod to Shem Hashem. But that really probably comes from here. It's not as quoted in the by Hilchas in Berachas Hamazo, but here, the Ramah quotes it. When say Shem Hashem, you get up a little bit. And therefore, those are the three menagim. I just have a couple minutes. Let me just finish a couple points, then I'll take the questions after. So that is the menhagim of what position we should be in when we make Kiddush. The other important issue related to this, and that is the Ramah says, Kiddush alludes to Shem Hashem, Yom HaShiv Eichul HaShemayim. Where does Kiddush start? Where should Kiddush start? So the Ramah quotes, Vayechulu, right, Shem Hashem, Yom HaShiv Eichul HaShemayim. What's the problem with that? The problem is it doesn't make sense. Yom HaShishi is the last two words of the previous pasuk, the end of Perek Aleph in Bereishis. Vayechulu is the beginning of Perek Beis. So let's just translate what we're saying. Day six, Hashem finished everything on Shabbos. So what are the first two words have to do with anything? We say Yom HaShishi because we want to get Shem Hashem in at the beginning of Shabbos. Yom HaShishi Vayechulu HaShemayim. But it doesn't make sense. We're not saying anything. So that is why there are those that say from the beginning of the phrase, quietly, you start off out loud with Yom HaShishi, because you want Shem Hashem, to give covet. But we say, Vayehi Erev, Vayehi Boker, Yom HaShishi. So you say the whole phrase. But that's why in some benchers it says, say this quietly, and then you say Yom HaShishi out loud. But there's still a problem according to a number of poskim. Because if you look in the Chumash, Vayehi Erev, Vayehi Boker is the middle of a pasuk. The pasuk starts off, that's the whole pasuk. So you're allowed to say a half a pasuk? This is a question that comes up in various places by Vizos HaTorah. We put together a whole pasuk and then another half a pasuk. Al Kain Berach! Shabbos morning. We say a half a pasuk. So there are kulas. Many posts can say if you're saying a pasuk as a tefillah, you're allowed to say a half a pasuk. You're not saying it as a pasuk. So the minhag of Klal Yisrael is fine. We all say Vizos HaTorah. Hashem Zabarim is B'nai Yisrael. That's a whole pasuk. Al Pi Hashem B'yad Moshe is a half a pasuk. But we're saying it as tefillah. Say it as tefillah, it's all okay. But if one wants to be machmir, so then you might see some people mumbling something before they start Kiddush. This is what they're mumbling. And then out loud, Yom HaShishi, to be Yotzi the Ramah, that we start off with Shem Hashem. We start off Shabbos with a Shem Hashem. So we have a Yahulu. Just by the way, I didn't mention before. It's amazing. I find it amazing that the Gemara says nothing about how to make Kiddush. Such a basic mitzvah that we do every week. Sitting, standing. The Gemara says nothing. Zero. A couple of Rishonim here and there talk about it. But hardly any. And you know the Rambam talks about it? Not in Hilchos Shabbos. He doesn't say a word. In Hilchos Sukkah, the Rambam has a diuk that he says how to make Kiddush on Sukkos. So we figure out how to make Kiddush every Shabbos. But it's amazing that this is not spoken about in the Gemara, not too much in the Rishonim. But the Shulchan Aruch quotes all different opinions. Yeah. Gachin, first let's talk about Shabbos morning. That Gachin v'shasi Ravashi, that he looked to see what was Kiddush, Bar Gachin, that was that Shabbos morning. Shabbos morning is just sit for Kiddush. But yeah. Different types, that's about what to make Kiddush on. Maybe we'll do that next week. But then I have to go into it in terms of schnapps and other issues. Okay, let's try to get a little bit more here. There is a minhag, the Ramah quotes, of looking at the candles as one starts making Kiddush. It's a skula for different things. Ukishemaschil, Yitin Ina Beneros, quoting the Maharil, in terms of that. Let's just try to get through two other halachas, so we can at least have done most of this siman. How much does one have to drink for Kiddush? How much does one have to drink? So if you give him the Shulchan Aruch says, you have to make Kiddush on a revius of wine. And you have to drink a majority of that. A rov revius. A rov revius. So as a machlokas, exactly how much is a revius, how much is a rov revius. Right there, Rav Chaim Noah has 3.2 ounces. Rav Moshe is a little machmir, 4.4 ounces. But either way, most kosos in the world have the right shear. There's an unbelievable story I heard last year. Somebody, we were making a second seder for a couple of the Americans. So I remember he told over a story. He says that he heard this story from the somebody who was there. It was a guy learning in yeshiva, and he was a great grandson of the Chafetz Chaim. So he's going, and then he goes to his grandmother's house. His grandmother's house was the daughter of the Chafetz Chaim. And he's over at the house. He's a yeshiva boy. And he says he's going to make Kiddush. And she gives him a kos. She gives him a kos. And he looks at the kos, and he starts looking at it, analyzing it. He says, you have a little bigger one, Chazon Ish. And she started crying. She started crying. She said, that was my father's kos. A lot of messages you could get from that story. We'll talk about the shira of kosos. Again, three or four, if you think deeply about that story, it's a very powerful story in many different directions, in terms of covet for the Mesorah, in terms of not being machmer on somebody else's toes, you know, about, you know, good enough for the Chafetz Chaim is good enough for me, even if it's, there's a lot of messages. But anyway, so that's the shira. You have to make Kiddush on a Revius and drink a Rov Revius. This is different than the Night of the Seder. The Night of the Seder, there are two other levels that do not exist on every Shabbos. L'chadchila, to drink the entire cup at the Seder. The next level is to drink the majority of the cup. The next level is Rov Revius. That's why at the Seder, one should not use a large cup. Even if one uses a big kos the whole year, one should not use a big kos on, you know, very large kos at the Seder, because one wants to be l'chadchila, fulfill kol kos or Rov Revius. Two more halachas, and then we'll be finished for tonight. Who has to drink the wine? This is all Reish Ayin Aleph. I'm just fitting this in. Who has to drink the wine? So Sif Yud Dalid in Reish Ayin Aleph. The Shulchan Aruch has three opinions. Lechatchila, the Mekadesh should drink a Rov Revius. The Mekadesh, lechatchila. That's the Shita of the Gaonim, I think. Gaonim Sovereign, yeah. Number two. One person should drink a Rov Revius. Let's say there's a grandfather who you want to give the kavod to make Kiddush, but he can't drink the wine. So you want to allow him to make Kiddush. Somebody else will drink. That's okay. Second level, as long as one person drinks. The third shita is, as long as everybody all together combines for that cheer, that's good enough for the Evan. All together. So when might that come up? I'll take an example when it came up. Sometimes, and sure, I remember a number of years ago, it'd be in Woodmere, so it's not that he had to have a Kiddush. Let's say there was no wine. Forgot to buy wine. It's only schnapps. I hate schnapps. I don't drink schnapps. So I let somebody else make Kiddush. I don't drink schnapps. But I made them make Kiddush on a kos, on a shear. That's the next topic, not on just a shot class. Nobody's going to drink that much schnapps. So in that case, you rely on the third sheet of the Shulchan Aruch. Mitzaref. You know, I'd rather rely on that. That sheet is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. The sheet about a shot glass of schnapps is not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Right. That's not enough of a shear. That's not for tonight, but that's not enough of a shear. But anyway, so that is the, again, are there defenses? There are defenses, but it's really not l'chadchila. So those are the three opinions of the Shulchan Aruch about who has to drink. The Mekadesh, one person, or everybody together. Okay, we'll stop there. This is Reish Ayin Aleph. Maybe next time we'll get into Kiddush Makom Suda, the when, the what, and the where of Kiddush Makom Suda, and other issues that come up.
Nice. Why do you stand up?
Good question.